Good afternoon, I'm Beth Swadine, and this is the Closing Market Report for July 4th, 1986. While much of the country is focusing on the Statue of Liberty celebration in New York, a group of entertainers has gathered in Texas for a second Farm Aid benefit concert. The first was held here in Champaign-Urbana some 9 months ago. This afternoon, we'll look back at the first concert, talk about its impact, and have a live report from the second concert. And now, a special report. Farm Aid.
It's a privilege and an honor to be with you this evening. We're the Chowder Daniels Band from Mount Juliet, Tennessee. We're so glad to see you. We'd like to do a new song that's going to be off a new album we're going to be releasing here before long. This is about an unsung American hero. It's called American Farmer. We hope you like it.
I do feel like that more and more people, as they understand the seriousness of what's going on out here in rural America, the better off all of us will be then.
Well, do you see that man in the field over yonder with dirt on his hands and a load on his back? He's a man, puts the food on your table. He's a man, grows the clothes on your back. But running him out of the house he was born in, standing on the sidelines, watching it fall, selling his land to the big corporations. What you gonna do when they get it all? He's been pulled, shoved, treated like an outlaw, turned down, zoned out, put out the graze. He's been pushed, he ain't gonna push no more. Gets a little harder every day. He's the American farmer, and he's damn hard to beat.
I guess it was a positive image, but it was somewhat tarnished by the attitudes that some people were just absolutely beyond help, and you know, we have to do everything possible to help them. I think it could have been a healthier approach to say that yes, the farmers are in trouble, but they're hard workers and they're really willing to get on with life, and let's try to do what we can to help them instead of trying to give them everything. That was my general impression when I was watching it on the TV that evening, but I didn't have that impression during the day when I was there.
And he's damn hard to beat. You better wake up America, cause if the man don't work, then the people don't eat.
They certainly are sincere in their help. They want to spread money over many farmers in as big areas they can. They realize that the funds received from Farm Aid are a drop in the bucket, but they're trying to use it to the maximum advantage.
I see a lot of publicity, I see a lot of public people, just general people, general public, that are more interested in agriculture now than they were before. That's not all positive. Some of that's negative. Some of that are people that are saying, well, gee, why should we be helping out the farmer? I just lost my job. I didn't get a concert in behalf of the caterpillar workers in Peoria or on down the line. So I guess I have two observations, one of which I'm wondering about the money. I just haven't seen that much information out about the money. And number two is I think that the awareness of agriculture was increased, but I'm not sure if that's positive or if that's negative.
When Farm Aid 1 was announced, organizers said the focus was not the millions of dollars they expected to raise, but rather the awareness of the country that was expected to be raised. And most people feel their intentions were good. But most also remain interested in where the money has gone. Charles Lindy has a look at that topic.
About 30% of the $9 million raised at the first Farm Aid concert is left. Over 20% went to the cost of putting on the concert. The remaining almost 50% has been distributed.
A lot of that money that I've heard went directly to farm families that were just absolutely down and out, that, you know, they didn't know where their money was coming from for their groceries for the next week or month. And that money, we know of families like that too, that the money was directly sent to those farm families.
Joanne Hardiman, who works with the Illinois South Project, which handled much of the money for Illinois, some $40,000. She is also involved with a number of other farm groups in the state. And as is evidenced by this story she offers, sometimes finding the people to help was the difficult part.
There was a family out our way that had serious medical problems with a child. They needed help just to go to Chicago, where this child needed the treatment. This Illinois South Project found out about this couple through just being at our house one day and, you know, just mentioning it. And all of a sudden they said, could we have the name and address of this family? And we will see to it that they got some money. And like this family said, it put the tires on their car in order for them just to make the trip. And, you know, I'm not sure how much they got, but it was really greatly appreciated by this particular family then.
Other monies have gone to food banks, counseling services, a legal defense fund, a matching grant-type program to help farmers purchase seed to plant this spring. And all of these programs, according to Dave Roberts, the manager for singer John Connolly, one of the concert organizers, all of these programs have been ultimately approved by the originator of the Farm Aid idea, Willie Nelson.
Willie makes the decisions, and the why he places certain funds in a given area, I don't know. And I don't question that. I assume that he has good reasons, and on the presentation of whatever group it is, that everyone has to present a written presentation. And then I know, because of Willie's staff, that those organizations that have been given monies must report to Willie's staff on the use of those funds so that they are used in the way they have been represented and dispersed.
And while in its early stages, Nelson said the money would not be used for political purposes, it's apparent a number of the groups receiving the money have similar political views. Joanne Hardiman points to Prairie Fire, Minnesota COAC, North American Farm Alliance, and the American Agriculture Movement as examples of groups receiving farm aid money.
It certainly has been spread out wide and far to many, many different types of organizations. Not just one organization received a large sum, but they seem like they're trying to do as much with it as they possibly can then.
Would it be fair to say that the organizations to which the money has been dispersed are of a similar political mind?
I suppose that would be more or less true. I guess what most of these organizations, you would consider them grassroots movements. And that does seem like there is a similarity in the types of organizations that has been receiving the money. But I think, again, I think it's important for us to realize that the people that are putting on the Farm Aid, Willie Nelsons and such types as that, do have some type of farm background in them too. John Cougar Mellencamp, of course, we know of his farm roots. And they realize the importance of a political process in farming. And so I think that's why they continue on with this type of a theory in their concerts and whatever they have around the United States right now.
Prior to the idea of Farm Aid, singer John Connolly went to Omaha, Nebraska to stage a benefit concert for farmers. Connolly was also on hand for Farm Aid in Illinois.
I want to let it, of course, everybody here knows by now the 1-800 Farm Aid number. That's the number to call if you want to make a donation, for those of you watching television and listening on the radio. And the money is important. We need the money, and it can go a long way toward helping solve the problems of the family farmer and the family rancher across our country. But we want you to know, we want to underline the fact that it's more than dollars. It's going to take everybody pulling together. It's going to take everybody being aware of what the problems are and of immediate need. We need a moratorium on foreclosures for the family farmers, and we need a farm bill that works. What that means is this. All of you pledging money, that's great. When you put it on the phone, you get ready to fill out a little letter and send it to your congressmen, your senators, your congresswomen, the administration, And all of you people here today, when you go home on Monday, melt the phone lines in Washington. Let them know how you feel. And follow that phone meltdown, that phone line meltdown, with a letter telling them what it's all about and how you feel. A lot of farmers have told us they want the Harkins Farm Bill. You tell them about it. I want to dedicate our portion of the show. I was raised on a farm and continue to farm now. My mom and dad operate that family farm that I was raised on. My grandparents were farmers. They looked down upon me from above. And I dedicate my portion of the show to those fine folks. Here is a song. Here's a song that kind of tells the story of why we're all here. Farmers know what this is all about. It's all about being broke or busted. Are all due, and the babies need shoes, but I'm busted. Cotton is down to a quarter a pound, and I'm busted. I got a cow that's gone dry, and a hen that won't lay. A big stack of bills that get bigger each day. The county's gonna haul my belongings away, cause I'm.
The largest single grant from Farm Aid would appear to be the $500,000 given to the Family Farm Legal Defense Fund, the one created by John Conley's Nebraska concert.
I don't want to be misunderstood when I say the Legal Defense Fund is not a benefit to the farmer, because the farmer does derive some benefit from it. But I think that the funds could be spent in better ways.
You hear, on the other hand, about people like lawyers who are just raking in dollar after dollar after dollar over this fund, this legal fund, that, you know, these are the things I guess I look at.
A legal defense fund's well and good, but the money usually winds up in a lawyer's pocket instead of where it's going to be doing the most good with the farmer.
No, that is an erroneous statement.
That's singer John Conley's manager, Dave Roberts, responding to the concerns expressed by two farmers about the Family Farm Defense Fund.
The defense fund has got three attorneys on staff in their office in Washington, D.C. The attorneys that we are working with in the field are essentially donating their time. We are having to pay for court recorder fees, deposition fees, and that sort of thing. We are getting the most for our legal dollars. That you could honestly expect.
The fund has become involved in one major suit filed in U.S. District Court in Lubbock, Texas. It names both the Farmers Home Administration and Agriculture Secretary Richard Ling. Reportedly, it charges the FMHA with refusing to act on loan applications or fund-approved loans within the times required by law and other things. Also reportedly, the fund is involved with an Oklahoma group trying to stop a federal land bank from financing the sale of inventory farmland at terms more favorable than those offered to the foreclosed loan. Robert says part of the problem in dealing with a defense fund is the time it takes to prepare lawsuits.
Also, the Family Farm Defense Fund has been busy looking into the cases that were already about to happen and advising attorneys that were handling those cases on the cases. We were also trying to stop some cases from getting in the court that were bad cases to keep from setting bad law. We are trying to set precedent-setting law that will affect all farmers across the country, and that is a time-consuming process.
In Illinois, some of the contact with troubled farmers has been made through the Illinois South Project. Joanne Hardiman has worked with them, as well as a number of other concerned organizations.
Many farmers that I know were contacting myself or some of these other organizations that I work with, saying we just don't have any money available to even go see a lawyer about our serious problems here on the farm. And the lawyers were sought out. They were lawyers that were recommended to really know what the problems were and how to deal with them. And they were charged a very minimum amount like $5 an hour or something similar to that. I know of one lawyer that charged $5 an hour. And then, of course, the rest of his funds came from this legal defense fund. And many of the farmers that I have worked with were very well pleased with the legal defense fund.
Did it save the farmers, or did it? What did it do for them?
Well, I don't think a lot of them had such problems that they knew they couldn't be saved, but it was tax-type problems. It was, you know, other types of problems that at least the lawyer could help them work out, and at least they were better off than if they wouldn't have had the aid of the lawyer at all then.
Joanne Hardiman. Again, about 5.5% of the money raised by Farm Aid 1, $500,000, went to the Family Farm Legal Defense Fund.
Prior to the first concert, it was evident that the event was going to have political overtones, regardless of how often organizers assured the public it wouldn't. But debate on the 1985 Farm Bill was going on in Washington, and just before the concert, a full-page ad appeared in a national newspaper. It was an open letter to President Reagan. It was written by one of the concert organizers, Neil Young. The letter was read at the concert by actor Timothy Hutton.
His great-grandpa worked this farm. His grandpa worked it and his daddy worked it. He's 30 years old. His wife and children at his side. He stands in the window of the old farmhouse. A car comes up the driveway. A man in a suit is behind the wheel, his briefcase at his side. Today is the last day for this family farm. Tomorrow is foreclosure day. President Reagan, in many ways, you've been a great leader. Today, as you hear this, your advisors are telling you that America must be strong. America must compete in the world food markets. They advise you to keep the prices down, lower than ever. Do you know that this is killing the family farm? And that only the large conglomerate farm units will survive? Mr. President, you have a decision to make. Will the farmer be replaced by the farm operator? Will the family farm in America die as a result of your administration? Will the family system in America be dealt a fatal blow right at the core, sending a tremor of fear through every small family business in America? What will this do to the American spirit? Pictures of your family are neatly framed in the Oval Office, showing your love and reminding you of why you took on the great task of making America strong again. At the end of the day, your wife looks you in the eye and tells you she believes in you. All over America, farmers' wives do the same. But sleep does not come easily for you tonight, and nor does it for them. As we sell our low-priced food products to the world market, we undercut the family farmers in those countries, forcing them out of business. They turn to cash crops such as textiles and other non-food related products in an effort to earn money to buy American food. Must we destroy their native food chains and their family farmers along with it? What happens if we have a drought or some other act of God that ruins our crops here at home? Then we have to raise our world food prices. What will our world food market customers do with no native food and not enough money to buy ours? Consider the consequences for America and for the families of the world. Senator Tom Harkin has a bill. The Harkin Policy Farm Reform Act of 1985. Farm Aid and the family farmers of America consider this to be the only way to save the American family farm. It does not increase the deficit, and it passes on only a 3.5% cost increase to the American consumer. It raises the price of a loaf of bread by only one penny. It costs the taxpayer less than any other policy idea presented at this time. We urge you to stand beside us and save the family farm. Now, the Harkin Policy Farm Reform Act of 1985 comes to a vote in Congress 3 days after this event. All Americans interested in preserving our American family system should call their congressman by Tuesday, September 24th, 1985. That's the day after tomorrow. And support this bill. So to the American people and the President of the United States, we all say here today, save the American family farm. God bless you all. And now I'd like to introduce the author of this letter. It's a great pleasure to bring to the stage now Neil Young.
More disappointed in how it kind of got away from people, you know, and got into a political thing, which I guess with our nation the way it is, that's sometimes going to happen.
Fisher, Illinois farmer Leonard Stocks.
I think very definitely they're probably their hearts were in the right place. I think they were used somewhat by some of these groups.
One quick second, I'd like to introduce you to a woman who is on the ground level of this whole thing.
Right. Singer John Cougar Mellencamp at the Farm Aid concert last September.
And I would like to challenge, I want the farmers of America to challenge Congress to pass the Harkin Farm Bill.
Whatever happened to the Harkin Bill?
Well, it was defeated in the Senate Agriculture Committee, and when it was brought out on the floor of the Senate, it also was defeated.
University of Illinois agricultural policy professor Harold Geither, he was in Washington viewing the progress of the Farm Bill at the time of Farm Aid. The Harkin Bill, named after Iowa Senator Tom Harkin, simply put, would have required farmers to put a certain portion of their acreage out of production to raise prices. Though the bill and the concept as a whole were rejected, a small portion of the idea made its way through and into the final act. And that was the poll of wheat farmers asking them if they wanted the kind of mandatory controls talked about. That poll is taking place right now, but it is an advisory referendum, meaning the administration does not have to accept or act on its results. And Agriculture Secretary Richard Ling has already said, even if the poll passes, he has no intention of putting mandatory controls into place. The Harkin Bill was not supported by the nation's largest farmer organizations, but it did receive the support of a number of the splinter or grassroots groups. Joanne Hardiman is on the board of the Illinois Farm Alliance and secretary of the Illinois chapter of the American Agriculture Movement, as well as belonging to a couple of other farm-related groups. Hardiman says the attention given the Harkin Bill at Farm Aid did pay off.
I still believe it had an impact out in Washington, D.C. I know that the Harkins Bill didn't pass, but it got many more votes than ever anticipated when it first started going.
However, Geither says, on the whole, Washington did not pay all that much attention to the Farm Aid concert.
Oh, there was some mention in the press, but in terms of the development of the farm legislation, Farm Aid was not a registered lobbyist. There were established organizations. The general farm groups were there. The commodity groups were there. They were the ones that were making calls in the offices of the members of Congress and in the members particularly of the Senate and House Agriculture Committees. They were the ones that gathered in the halls during the week of the conference committee to influence these final decisions that were being made. I didn't see Willie Nelson. I did hear about several movie stars that got some attention one day in the press, in the style section of the Washington Post, interestingly enough. But I don't think they had very much influence. They got some attention from those who were sympathetic to the financial stress of farmers. And perhaps as a result of this effort, there were certainly some differences in the final farm bill than would have resulted if they hadn't gone through their efforts.
But the impact Farm Aid was to have was still an unknown back in September when the concert took place in the middle of Champaign County, a county where the Conservative Farm Bureau is the major farm organization. Farm Bureau did not support the Harkin Bill, and the politicizing of Farm Aid was cause for concern for many Farm Bureau members, like Dennis Riggs.
I was concerned. I was scared to death, as a matter of fact, that a lot of people that didn't know anything about agricultural policy or agricultural economics were being asked to support a piece of legislation that people, that those of us that have spent our lives in agriculture realized was not a good piece of legislation. And I saw our elected officials in Washington act responsibly, defeat that legislation, and I feel better about the process now than I did the day of the Farm Aid concert.
Though Farm Aid 1 was held in politically hostile territory, Farm Aid 2 is in Austin, Texas, and it's being co-sponsored by the State Department of Agriculture, where Jim Hightower is commissioner. His views are much more in line with those expressed at Farm Aid than were those of most of the local Illinois audience. Joanne Hardman feels that may make the audience more receptive.
It probably could be, because I think, again, we have to remember those farmers down in Texas have been hurting longer than we here in the Midwest have. They have been suffering quite a few more years than we have due to the low prices, and you know, maybe the reception of the audience will be better out there.
Farm Aid 2 is co-sponsored by the Texas Department of Agriculture. The first concert, held here in Illinois, had the cooperation of the Illinois State Department of Agriculture, but no official co-sponsorship. Charges Illinois Governor James Thompson would use the concert to his political advantage caused the state to take a back seat in its involvement. The press representative for the Illinois Department of Agriculture is Mark Randall. We asked Randall for his personal commentary on the concert idea. The opinions are his alone and do not reflect the views of the department or AM 580. Mark Randall.
To the thousands who attended the original Farm Aid in Champaign, Illinois, it was a musical happening that was the closest modern-day attempt to Woodstock that anyone had seen. Music lovers settled in for a rare treat of 12-plus hours of back-to-back performances from many of the best in the business. Most felt the lineup was superior to the earlier and much more carefully planned Live Aid. For the rest of the world, there were varying degrees of entertainment worth found, but primarily, it was a reason to focus attention on what had become a highly visible and often emotional issue. Agriculture, as an industry, had fallen on hard times, and not just hard times in terms of challenges, but more in the direction of what could be called a struggle for life, a gasp for a breath of anything that could turn the downward slide to disaster into a glimmer of hope for the future. There were those who questioned the need for a farm aid, including many directly involved in all phases of the agricultural industry. Their voices were heard in arguments such as, the originality is lost because there was already a Live Aid, or the problems are far too serious and too complex to be properly addressed through a stunt which smacked of Hollywood, or probably the most common, which stated, there was no potential to raise enough money to solve the problem, and if there had been, many farmers would not have been able to swallow their pride and accept. Those arguments seemed to quickly fade once the wheels of the original Farm Aid in Illinois began to turn. It was not a totally original idea, but it was for our own, people in need in the U.S. as opposed to those across the ocean. Those in agriculture have often accused those outside the business of not understanding the issues, the blame for which was usually because of the lack of attention given. No one could make that accusation, however, after Farm Aid in Illinois, because the literal eyes and ears of the world were focused on the event and the issues surrounding it. Those issues were complex and the problem serious. But the dialogue was primed with the agenda set by agricultural leaders throughout the country. As is usually the case, when you have potential for success, you also have exposure to potential failure. There were many statements made that damaged the cause, some by people who should have known better. One that stands out was made by a former Secretary of Agriculture from the Nixon years, Earl Butz. He said trying to resolve the crisis with a concert was like trying to drain Lake Michigan with a teacup. And he also took a shot at the entertainers, whom he said stood to gain far more economically than did the American farmers. Of course, you could say the entertainers would benefit from the exposure of the show. Most of us enjoy a tax deduction benefit when we make a charitable contribution. But that does not detract from the goodness of the primary motive to simply help. And as to the issue of making an economic dent in the problem, from the very first day of the announcement of the original Farm Aid, Willie Nelson repeatedly explained the issue was not the money, but the attention the concert would focus on the problem. That was not to say the money should be eliminated. It helped to form a common cause, and what was collected helped many farm families through what could have been a much harder winter. But from day one to now, anyone that had anything to do with the concert in Champaign, Illinois, repeatedly said the issues surrounding the agricultural industry were the focus, not the money. Earl Butts, though not alone, simply chose to ignore the message. As a rule, Americans are a thoughtful people. We want information on issues, and we want to make valid judgments and decisions based on the processing of that information. Sometimes we overcook part of the meal by giving complicated issues such as balance of trade, the value of the dollar, export barriers, and commodity programs the same amount of time as we do a simple question like, why have a farm aid concert? The summary goes to the credit of an article written following the original farm aid concert in Champaign, Illinois, which appeared in the Rolling Stone. The thought simply being, what mattered in the end was that Willie and his fellow organizers saw a problem and tried to help. They didn't have to do it.
The comments of Mark Randall. He's press representative for the Illinois Department of Agriculture, but his opinions expressed in this report are his own. Dozens of entertainers took Willie Nelson up on his invitation to come to Memorial Stadium for Farm Aid. But one, Charlie Pride, appeared via videotape due to scheduling conflicts.
I would like to talk about this song just a few minutes. This song, I think, in relationship to the Farm Aid, it couldn't be a better song that lyrics could have been written for this particular situation. We recorded this song in April of this year, and it's in our latest album, and I want to take time to share with my other cohorts in the business, which is my other peers, the other singers that have recorded songs since we've done this, to help in this same cause. I'd like you to listen to the lyrics to this song and see if every line in it, we're in the business of selling lyrics, and one couldn't typify any better than this particular song, Down on the Farm. Looking back 100 years on daughters and sons of the land, standing gear cold and a fist full of dirt, watching it slip through my hand. See the fields of sweat and tears where we labored in love. Now we cussed the wind and we prayed for rain, but never thought of giving it up. Oh, oh, oh. Down on the farm, oh, somebody's dreams are in vain. When a way of life can be optional, there's more than one fence that needs mending. This country still needs to muscle into strong heart. So if we can send a man up to the moon, we can keep a man down on the farm. Staring out this factory window, we tried to make sense of it all. I remember on this very spot, corn standing 10 feet tall. So America, America, who do we blame it on? It was only the family farm, but who really cares if it's gone? Oh, 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 down on the farm, oh, somebody's dreams are in the way of life.
and be all to know. There's more than one person that needs any man who can look like to me. At this country's still
the muscle into
the heart. So if he can do the man up to the moon, he can be the man out of the bar. So America, America, who do we blame it on?
Crosses planted in the courthouse yard with 97 families who lost 97 farms. I think about my grandpa, my neighbors, and my name. The nights feel like dying. Like asking for
Farm Aid 2 continues in Texas, plans are already in the works for future Farm Aid ventures. One question comes quickly to mind, just how many Farm Aid concerts will the public put up with?
I don't know. They'll let us know. they'll let us know. But I think as long as we show the legitimacy of the problem and so forth, the American people will respond. They always have.
That's Dave Roberts. He's manager for singer John Connolly, one of the organizers of Farm Aid. Most people seem to feel the entertainers who backed the concert had good intentions. The information director for the Champaign County, Illinois Farm Bureau, Dennis Riggs, feels that way, but he questions the intentions of some others involved.
I'm afraid that the Farm Aid Concert 2, is not continuing because it did a lot of help to the farmers or helped influence agricultural policy, which of course it did not, but rather because everybody had a good time. And it was successful financially for some of the promoters. There was a lot of money passed through hands, non-farmer hands, concerning the Farm Aid Concert. And anything that size and magnitude, that's gonna happen again. If you've got a job in food service or in PA equipment or lights and sound or promotions or whatever, you would just be tickled to death to have another Farm Aid Concert because that is your livelihood. And by the way, are the farmers still hurting?
Dennis Riggs. Dave Roberts says the farmers are still hurting and the organizers are looking beyond the concerts to what they are calling the Farm Aid Congress. It's expected to be held about a year after the first concert in mid-September in either St. Louis or Kansas City, Missouri, and it may include another concert. But the main reason for the meeting, in the words of the Farm Aid Congress Statement of Purpose, is to develop a unified program that farm organizations, farmers, and their friends can support to save our family-type farming structure. They've set aside $250,000 for the project, which Dave Roberts feels may help unite farmers.
I like to see the farmers unite. And as I've said before, they're farmers by nature are independent people, which is to be admired, but I think it has worked against them in most instances. Depending upon what type of crop they raise, they all have their different views on the solution.
Singer John Connolly's manager, Dave Roberts. Farm Aid says they're inviting all general farm organizations and several national church groups to become involved, but it is unclear at this point whether all major farm and commodity groups will get involved in the Congress or whether it will be comprised of many of the smaller organizations. University of Illinois agricultural policy professor Harold Geither says that's a key question when determining if the Congress will yield any political power.
Well, I'm not sure when you say power, but you always get media coverage when you get attention in a large group. And radio broadcasters and newspaper reporters tend to flock to where news is being made. I think the mistake that the media may make is that they overlook the members and the membership represented by some of these advocacy groups. I'm not critical of them, other than to say that getting a lot of media attention doesn't necessarily say that they have a majority of farmers represented. And if you look at the established groups, both the general farm groups and the commodity groups, and the number of members that they have established and built, loyal members, dedicated members through the years, they represent a lot more farmers than these newer groups which develop on a local level and maybe merge or get into coalitions with other groups around the country. But still, in terms of numbers of members, they do not represent the number of farmers that the established farm, general farm, and commodity groups do.
Agricultural policy professor Harold Geither. And again, it is unclear as of yet where the elected delegates to the Farm Aid Congress will be coming from.
Give us your tired and weak, and we will make them strong. Bring us your farm song. We will sing along.
Leave us your broken dreams. We'll give them time to mend. There's still a lot of love living in the promised land. Living in the promised land. Our dreams are made of steel. The prayer of every man is to know how freedom feels. There is a winding road across the shifting sand, and room for everyone living in the promised land.
So they came from the distant isles, nameless woman, faithless child, like a bad dream.
Till there was no room at all, no place to run, no place to fall.
Give us your daily bread. We have no shoes to wear, no place to call our own, only this cross to bear. We are the multitudes, lend us a helping hand. Is there no love anymore, living in the promised land?
Promised land, our dreams are made of steel. The prayer of every man is to know how freedom feels. There is a winding road across the shifting sand, and still room for everyone
living in the promised land.
Still room for everyone
living in the promised land.
Thank y'all very much.
Thank you, David Lynn Jones.